Epistle to Titus, chapter 2, from the verse number 9 to the end of this chapter.
Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee.
At the end of the verse 5, we are told one of the reasons for our godly manners, that the word of God be not blasphemed. I think every person, having heard the gospel teaching first time or first few times, will experience a clash, a struggle between new influence and the old habitual thinking. A good, godly life of a faithful, sincere witness of Christ can be an appealing and convincing invitation. In the verse 8 is one reason more for true godliness as an important part of our outreach, that the opposition may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of us. The enemy will always have something evil to say against us. What we are admonished here to do is to keep ourselves from giving any real opportunity to the slaves of the enemy to believe the accusations of their master and be right about that. In the verse 9, Paul is exhorting slaves to be obedient unto their master, to be well-pleasing in all. A question was troubling the minds of some ignorant believers, the same question that the opposition of the gospel would use as an opportunity of attacking the teaching of our Lord was, how could a loving, compassionate Savior support such a cruel social system, a regime of slavery? Allow me first to point out an important fact. Every human social system, every regime is cruel. It is very possible that modern time freedom and liberty is more cruel than the old time slavery when we consider many ignorant sinners that have been enticed and pushed into deep immorality, substance abuse, destructive wars, and intoxicating entertainment to end up with ruined body, mind, and soul, unable to do anything but to beg for more of the same evil that already brought them into their misery. I would like us to take notice of some very interesting verses in the Epistle to the Corinthians, the first epistle, chapter 9, verses 9 and 10.
For it is written in the law of Moses, thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and that he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope.
When God gave this commandment, it was not protecting oxen. It protected the owner from cruelty. Simply because we cannot be cruel and appreciate and utilize our Lord's blessings to the fullest extent. In the same manner, here, in the Epistle to Titus, chapter 2, verses 9 and 10, the Lord is protecting not the system of slavery, not the cruel regime, but the slaves, his own members in that system. It is quite reasonable to expect the obedient, pleasing, honest, and loyal slaves to be treated with much greater favor by their masters. But the most meaningful accomplishment of Christian slaves was a good godly testimony. The masters could have got persuaded to find out who is this savior that can turn a thief into an honest person. What is that gospel teaching that made a sober man of a drunkard? Who is the source of such great power that gave freedom, peace, and joy to a slave more than the slave owners had ever in their sins and ignorance? Just think what happened in the lives of the slaves whose master turned to the Lord by the testimony of his slaves. Listen from the epistle to Philemon from the verse number 10 and on what is taking place as Paul has sent the slave Onesimus back to his master Philemon.
I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Now therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him for ever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, specially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee, or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say.
Two segments of the human society, deeply divided by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, are united in one brotherhood. In Genesis chapter 14, verse 14, we see Abram's slaves were like children to him. They risked their lives going to war with their master Abram, and Abram shows no fear of betrayal. The purpose of the gospel is not revolution against human regimes, but such a change of heart that leads from death to life in Christ Jesus, our blessed Master, the Master above all masters. I think that would be a significant part of the meaning in the second part of the verse number 10, that they, the slaves, may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. Yes, the grace of our God offers salvation to all men, to the slaves and to the masters. I feel Paul is now including the masters into the whole picture, for the phrase "all men" could not leave anyone out. How did the grace of God appear to the humanity? First, in the appearance, teaching, and miracles of our Master Jesus. Then, through his work in the apostolic fellowship and outreach. After that, through all generations of believers, slaves and free, poor and wealthy, sick and healthy, Jews and Gentiles, all that received new life in Christ and the promise of life everlasting in glory forever. Finally, the grace of God has appeared to us, teaching us the same truth, giving us the same new life in Christ, His Spirit guiding us on the same path of salvation in Christ Jesus. When we teach the sound doctrine in clarity and simplicity, that's the grace of God declared to all men. We should not leave any part of the human society out of this privilege. When the aging men and women, the young men and women, the slaves and the free, the religiously educated and the ignorant experience the change of forsaking the world of sin and entering into the new life in Christ, it is a testimony. The grace of God in Christ has appeared to our generation. Yes, to our generation also. Once we believed, once we are in Christ, once He is our Lord, the teaching goes on and on. Deny ungodliness and worldly lusts as the light of His truth is revealing them to us more and more. Learn to live soberly, righteously, and godly more and more. Because we are messengers of our King, heralding the day of judgment, proclaiming the day of grace, inviting the lost and pointing to the Savior. In the first epistle of John, chapter 2, verses 16 and 17, we are reminded,
"For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever."
Our manners, appearance, words and deeds, plans and accomplishments confirm that we are looking for that blessed hope, that we are expecting His glorious appearing, for He is our Lord and Savior, and His name means exactly the same, Jesus Christ, Savior and King. Yes, He gave Himself as our ransom from all iniquity, and now we are His to purify us, to change us more and more into His likeness. The more we get purified, the more we see our need of more purifying. That way, He is developing us to be His nation more and more. He is cultivating in our hearts His zeal of good works. Lack of His zeal in our hearts may be an indication of the presence of secret or public impurity. The Spirit of Christ, our owner, is ruling our life, glorifying our Heavenly Father, and blessing His children as we continue our journey toward everlasting glory. Yes, His Spirit may rebuke us for our good, for our improvement, our growing in Christ. Yes, He has all the authority and power to rebuke us in love, for He has ransomed us to God our Father. Let no man despise the office and the ministry of Titus. Let none of us despise the office and the ministry of the apostle. Let us all honor, reverence, appreciate and adore the authority and power of our Lord Jesus Christ in humble service and full obedience.